This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, and welcome to Well, 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 Jill and Carlos with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks to the All That False Instruction team for another great show. And we have just listened to We Used to Vacation by the Cold War Kids. Carlos, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very, very well. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Just waiting for the weekend.
Waiting for the weekend. And your weekend starts pretty much the moment you walk out the doors from Joy, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And what are you doing tonight? Share.
I'm going to the Laird.
The Laird?
A little bit of leather, you know?
A little bit of leather. A little bit of leather at the Laird for Carlos.
Oh, yes, yes. So, Jill, what's on the show this week?
Well, tonight, Carlos, we will be chatting with Robin Metcalf from the Cancer Council on a topic close to many men's hearts, that of the prostate. But before that, we will be having a look at a few newsy items. And then after our interview with Robin, we will be looking at a few events happening around town. Now, Carlos, we do love to hear from our listener. So how can they get in contact with us?
Well, to tell us what you're thinking, you can call on 1300-JOY-949 or email us on air@joy.org.au or send an SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Fantastic. Now, Carlos, I believe we still have a couple of tickets to give away to Code Black. Is that right?
We do indeed.
And that's right. Do you want to just explain a little bit about what Code Black is?
Yeah, Code Black, it's a leather dance party. It's going to be on Saturday night. And it's a strict code dress, of course, leather. And the Laird, it's a men-only venue. So the first person to call will be lucky enough to have these tickets for absolutely nothing.
Fantastic.
Now, how can they get in contact with us?
Well, just to relay the details that you just said, you can call us on 1300-JOY-949 or you can email us on air@joy.org.au or you can send an SMS to 0427-JOY-949. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Nikki Webster, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Indeed you are. Now, Carlos, unless you were sort of hiding under, I don't know, in a hole or under a brick or something, why you'd hide under a brick, I don't know. But you wouldn't know about this, but I think pretty much anybody out there who's listening has. Wendy Francis, bless her, from Family First. She came out earlier in the week making some fairly, I'm trying to think of the most polite way to put it, big statements, shall we say, regarding same-sex attracted people. And she compared gay marriage to, she said children in homosexual relationships are subject to emotional abuse. Legitimising gay marriage is like legalising child abuse. She also said gay marriage equals kids with no mothers or no fathers. Parentless generation, uncontrollable depression and suicide. Is that the Australia we want? Now, I'm not making this up. These were the actual sort of, these were screenshots from Wendy Francis' Twitter page. So I sort of did a bit of investigation regarding this because obviously I'm not going to let that lie. So a couple of days later, I actually did go on I wanted to see if on her own page she'd actually made a response to the media fallout, because obviously there was a tirade of responses from people in response to these statements that she'd made. So I went onto her own website yesterday, and this was what she said, amongst a lot of other things, but this is perhaps the most pertinent. And I'll just quote it. By way of explanation, not excuse, I feel it important to clarify how these words came to be made public. I travel the state regularly, and on Sunday I was in Townsville, where I gave blood, and met locals concerned about where the major parties are taking Australia. My staff in Brisbane worded a media release on this issue. When I received the statement, I felt that the language used was inappropriate, and so I changed the wording. However, due to my schedule, these changes were accidentally not relayed to my Brisbane office, and the wording from this incorrect release was transferred to Twitter. And that's the end of that particular quote from Wendy. So not only, one might argue, is her entire office staff quite homophobic, but generally just incompetent in all areas, because if you're going to get things that confused, one might question your ability to, well, I don't know, run a country. So with that in mind, I then thought, well, let's do further investigation. So I found a little study that looked at families with same-sex parents. And there was a particular study that was done that came out of the US, and it was a national longitude study over regarding lesbian families, so families with two mothers and who have brought up children. And when I say longitudinal, it's been 17 years in the sort of making. And the objectives of the study was to document the psychological adjustments of adolescents who were conceived through donor insemination by lesbian mothers who enrolled before these offspring were born in the largest, longest-running prospective longitudinal study of same-sex parented families. Now, as for the results, it was found that the 17-year-old sons and daughters of lesbian mothers were rated significantly higher in social, school, academic, and total competence, and significantly lower in social problems, rule-breaking, aggressive, and externalising problem behaviour than their age-matched counterparts. So the conclusions to this are that adolescents who have been reared in lesbian mother families since birth demonstrate healthy psychological adjustment. And just to note, in Australia there are over 4,380 children living in same-sex families. Now, unfortunately, this is from, a study that came out of America, and it's actually on, you can see it yourself at pediatrics.org if you want to Google it and find more information out about it. I'm not making this stuff up. So with that in mind, see, there's a follow-on in all of this. I thought I would bring to the attention of to the listener the fact that there's a National Gay Dads Conference, and it's a celebration of gay fatherhood, and it's on the 18th and 19th of September at the Richmond Town Hall in Melbourne. So, and I should also state that certain subjects will be covered in this. What does it mean to be gay and to be a father, building resilience in children, raising children, the legal issues, everything, all and sundry is welcome, and there's obviously a lot of things covered. So I don't think Wendy's going to be attending that particular conference. It would be nice if she did, just to get a little bit of an insight. But I mean, I just sort of wanted to point out that these statements are so extremely, not only offensive, but potentially really quite damaging for the children of children who were brought up with either two dads or two mums.
Yeah, indeed.
You're not quite as outraged by her. I was absolutely appalled. I was just beside myself and doing as much research as I could, going, I know there's evidence to suggest otherwise, Wendy. Anyway, and I believe that you have something else that you'd like to share.
Yes, I do. The Global Forum on Men Who Have Sex with Men and HIV, known as MSMGF, is looking for input regarding values and preferences on a range of HIV and sexually transmitted infections for men who have sex with men and transgender people. The information will be gathered by individual and completely anonymous interviews done via telephone or Skype, and all the information collected will be reported to the World Health Organization, who's actually developing a global health strategy on intervention, prevention, and treatment of HIV and other sexual transmitted infections among men who have sex with men and transgender communities worldwide. Now, to participate in this process and help the World Health Organization on doing an efficient guide, please sign up for the MSMGF survey panel at www.msmgf.org. Or, for more information, write to contact@msmgf.org.
It's
I'm not getting that right, am I?
No, you're doing fine, Carlos. You're doing fine. We
yeah,
all
well,
get that.
With this, it's a great opportunity for all the community, or well, for the community of men who have sex with men and transgender community, to give a little bit of insight to these kind of organizations, to let us understand better how can we improve.
Absolutely, Carlos.
All our strategies.
Yeah, and it's really I'm always sort of heartened to find people that or organisations that are actually wanting input from the organisations they're there to sort of assist. So it's not that sort of top down. We're going to tell you what to do. It's actually saying, well, how can we do better? How can we serve you better? What messages are you going to kind of understand or getting a real insight into a particular community? It's always good to see. And if you don't know, if you've never been onto the MSMGF website, it's fantastic. There's a lot of resources there, and I know they had a fair bit of input with the Vienna conference recently as well.
Hai voglia di associarti con altre donne italiane? Arci Lesbica Australia is a social support group for Italian Australian women who identify as lesbian, bisexual, gay, trans, intersex or queer. Arci Lesbica Australia holds regular events aimed at enriching our identity as non-heterosexual Italian Australian women. Collegamento fra donne di origine italiana. Call 0408 137 037 or online at arcilesbicaaustralia.org.
Hi, I'm Senior Constable Alex Watson, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer at the Northcote Police Station. Did you know that gay men are more likely to call the police for help than lesbians? Victoria Police are committed to ensuring we serve all of the community. Victoria Police have a number of gay and lesbian liaison officers operating throughout the state. Let's work together to keep our community safe. For more information, visit police.vic.gov.au or contact your nearest police station. In an emergency, always call 000.
And that was Satellite Mind by Metric. Now, joining us on the radio is Robin Metcalf from the Cancer Council of Victoria. Robin, welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thank you, Jill and Carlos. Thank you for having me here tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. Firstly, Robin, a little bit about you. How long have you been with the Cancer Council and what exactly do you do there?
Oh, gosh, I've actually been with the Cancer Council for a long time. I was there for about 13 years and thought, oh, that's a long time, so I left for a while and then came back because I missed working there. So, and my role, mostly, for the biggest part of my role, I work on programs for men with prostate cancer. So that involves talking to a lot of men and having contacts with men in support groups for prostate cancer, talking to men as they're diagnosed. And I also have involvement in looking at our cancer information and support service, the area where I work, and how we let people know about our service.
Right.
Great. Now, Robin, hello. I can imagine that many people will rather think of cancer like happening to other people rather than themselves. Now, what makes you work in the in this field? What makes you work for the Cancer Council?
Well, I guess I feel fairly passionate about the work there, and hence why I've been there for a while. That's an interesting question, Carlos. I guess some time ago, I was personally involved. My mother died of breast cancer when I was very young, and I guess that led me to nursing, and over time I was drawn to working in the cancer area, so I've worked in the cancer area for most of my career now.
And that's quite a while if it's been 13 years as well.
It is.
Robin, can you tell us a little bit more about the actual service that you work for in particular?
Yes, thank you, Jill. I would love to. Well, the Cancer Information and Support Service is part of the Cancer Council Victoria, and we offer a confidential service through our cancer helpline for people with cancer, and that of course includes their family and friends, because cancer involves everybody within the family. So on our cancer helpline, we have experienced nurses. They're all oncology nurses and have a very wide range of cancer experience. And people can contact us by calling 13 11 20. So the nurses actually talk about all cancers. It's not just, one, two or three of them, and there are many different sorts of cancers. And they can provide people with reliable, evidence-based information over the phone and then back that up by sending out resources that we have, as well as looking up services within that person's region and depending on their cancer, and sending them resources that are appropriate to them as well.
And can I just ask, Robin, do most people phone that line when they're sort of, maybe when they've just been diagnosed and they're sort of panicking a bit, or is it a bit more of a kind of, you know, at what point do people sort of make use of that phone line?
That is a really good question, Jill, and I guess a lot of people, cancer is sometimes a thing that people don't want to know about until they get cancer, which is a shame because we'd like to get all our messages out there so people are more active in looking at our cancer prevention messages. People call us at many points, and one of the more common points is when people are diagnosed. So it can be the person with cancer and or their family member, as I said, or perhaps a health professional may call on their behalf.
Right.
Right. Now, Robin, from the health promotion point of view of things, what are some of the strategies that you use to firstly raise awareness of cancer and then to decrease the rates in cancer in Victoria?
Yes, to increase the rates of sort of knowledge of across cancer is a very important thing. In Victoria, cancer is actually the leading cause of death, but we do know that simple lifestyle changes can reduce our risk by about a third, so there's many messages that we'd like to get out. We have many health promotion campaigns, such as our bowel cancer screening program, skin cancer awareness. Some of the things we'd like to do is, obviously the QUIT program has a big impact. We'd like to look at into the obesity problem, which is a big problem within Australia, alcohol, I think I mentioned that. Alcohol can be a problem and linked to cancer. So, yeah, there's many health prevention strategies that we would like to more people to be aware of. So it's a good point to mention that not everybody who calls us has cancer. Of course, people do call us for our health promotion strategies and reducing cancer risk and or get on our website as well.
And just on that, Robin, in preparation for tonight's show, I did jump onto the Cancer Council's website and found the What's Your Risk section. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, certainly. Well, a lot of people do believe that cancer risk is due to fate or perhaps their family history. And certainly some cancers are closely linked to a family history, and I can talk about that a bit later on if you'd like me to. But in truth, about one third of all cancers are due to avoidable risk factors, and less than 1 in 10 cancers are caused by what we call faulty or damaged genes. So the easy ways to prevent or reduce our cancer risk are quitting or avoiding smoking. So, you know, that's a really big factor within our population. And QUIT is part of the Cancer Council Victoria as well. Limiting alcohol, being SunSmart, and SunSmart has been a very effective health campaign for many years. Eating a healthy diet, being physically active, getting screened and being aware of any changes in your body and getting them checked, and maintaining a healthy weight. And recently, we've just released, quite recently actually, a Cut Your Cancer Risk website. So the website for that is www.cutyourcancerrisk.org.au, and on the website it has all the facts about how to catch your cancer risk, and also a cancer risk quiz, facts and figures. You can, there's a news blog, stories of people about cutting their cancer risk, so it's quite an interactive website.
Okay. Now, Robin, looking at some of the stats related to cancer, it's alarming, the rates of prostate cancer. 3,202 cases of it have been reported in Victoria in the last 5 years.
Carlos, if I may just change that stat that you've just given.
Yes.
In fact, interestingly, the Cancer Council does house the cancer registry, and cancer by law is what we call a notifiable disease. So when somebody's diagnosed with any cancer, the specialist or the pathologist has to report that cancer to the Cancer Council Victoria, the registry, and their latest stats are 2007. That document is called CanStat and is available on our website. So, in fact, nearly 27,000 people in Victoria were diagnosed with some type of cancer. And prostate cancer, as you said, is the most common cancer in men. And over 4,600 people were diagnosed with prostate cancer. So it is a very, very common cancer in men. In fact, it's the most common cancer.
So I suppose that brings me to the next question, is how to avoid, how to reduce the risk on the first place?
Yeah, sure. Well, in fact, increasing age is the most significant risk factor for men getting prostate cancer. Prostate cancer does affect mostly men in the slightly older age group. And 85% of new cases are in men over 60 years. But having said that, there are some younger men who will get diagnosed with prostate cancer at an earlier age group. So, you know, in the main, it's mostly older men. And, of course, it's very devastating for anyone to be diagnosed with cancer. But for a younger man, it can be very difficult as well.
Well, I suppose even, you know, you say it's over 85% over 60-year-olds. I mean, that's still, certainly in the sense that people are living so much older these
Absolutely.
Days, that's still really quite young, isn't it? I mean, that's not even retirement age.
No, that's right. So it is still quite young, and, you know, for many men, they can live for many years after having treatment for prostate cancer. So, yes, it is a very young age.
Mm. Now, Robin, what I also found quite interesting in looking at those stats was that the cases of breast cancer, they don't even get a mention in those statistics. Presumably, I am being very presumptuous in this, is that that's because the rates are so low. And yet we all know that a pink ribbon signifies breast cancer awareness.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet there isn't a similarly kind of popular campaign for prostate cancer. And given those rates that you just mentioned, why is this? Why do we not have a sort of symbol of something, be it a ribbon or something else, to demonstrate prostate cancer awareness?
Oh, in fact, there are many networks for prostate cancer now. And just to mention to you, there are many women in Victoria being diagnosed with breast cancer as well. There are more men diagnosed, and of course that changes year to year, but prostate cancer is the highest incidence of cancer in a specific gender. So, yes, there are many campaigns for prostate cancer now. The Cancer Council does a lot of work in the area of prostate cancer. We have prostate cancer support groups. We run telephone groups for men with prostate cancer, and also we associate with many networks. One of them is the PCFA, the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. So, and all the support groups are listed on their website as well. And it's fantastic because over the last few years there's been a real groundswell of men getting involved in different areas of prostate cancer and getting the messages out there.
Now, Robin, you spoke a little bit about the strategies of reducing the risk of cancer. Now, for someone listening to the show that might think that they need to get checked, what's your recommendation? Is there like a self-examination men can do?
Are we talking about prostate cancer?
Prostate cancer, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, firstly, would you like me to go into a bit of a description about what the prostate actually is?
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I think that'd be really beneficial.
Yes, because, in fact, it's... people say that sometimes they're diagnosed with prostate cancer, although there is more community awareness now, but they aren't really aware of what the function of the prostate is. So the prostate is actually a gland which is found only in men. Now, it sits just below the bladder, and it sits quite deep within the pelvic cavity as well. So it's not something that you can palpate your abdomen and feel it. So it sits just below the bladder and surrounds the urethra. Now, the urethra is the urine outflow tube. So that's the tube that takes the urine from the bladder out through the penis. Now, the prostate gland produces a fluid that forms part of the semen when men ejaculate. Now, the gland itself is quite small, and when boys are born, it's very small. But about at puberty, it grows to about the size of a walnut. And as I said, it sits below the bladder. So the growth and development of the prostate depends on testosterone, which is the male sex hormone, and that's made by the testicles.
Right. So with all that in mind, is there any sort of way that you can feel if it's sort of, you know, like I'm thinking here for women, there's obviously a lot of literature out there about how to give yourself a breast examination to check for lumps and bumps.
Yep.
Is there an equivalent sort of examination, that self-examination that you can do if you're a man and you want to sort of have a poke about and think, maybe my prostate doesn't feel right?
No, because as I said, it sits deep within the pelvic cavity. And in fact, I'm really pleased you asked that question, because we would like all men to encourage establishing a relationship with their GP, and particularly as men are getting older, and go to their GP on an annual basis and be tested for all different sorts of situations with prostate, you know, health conditions like diabetes and managing their weight, check their skin, talk about their bowel cancer risk and risk for other cancers, etc., and really have a good relationship with their GP. In terms of prostate cancer, we would really suggest a man gets informed about prostate cancer, because some of the side effects of treatment for prostate cancer are very difficult for men. But the testing for prostate cancer would involve a blood test, so that has to be done by the doctor, and that's a prostate-specific antigen, and it's more commonly known as a PSA. So this is a blood test which looks at the antigen which is produced by the prostate. And if it's at a higher level, it's an indication. It doesn't actually say, well, this man's got prostate cancer. It means there may be an indication that the GP has to do some further tests. One of the other tests for prostate cancer is a digital rectal examination. And this involves the doctor inserting a glove finger into the back passage, or the rectum. And what they're feeling for is the size, the shape, and the texture of the prostate. So combined with the PSA, if there's an issue, the doctor may say, and that would be, as I said, based on the feeling of the prostate as well. It might feel quite large, or may feel a little bit lumpy or an irregular shape. So combined with the PSA, as I said, the doctor may suggest the man has a prostate biopsy, and that actually involves taking samples. And once again, a man will have a local, and samples are taken from the prostate, and they'll send that off to pathology. So that's the true definitive test for prostate diagnosis for prostate cancer.
Well, it's certainly a very thorough process, isn't it?
It is, and it's actually quite a complex cancer as well, because of the issues around the treatments, and also, you know, there's not just one test that will say, yes, this person's got prostate cancer. So when a man talks to the doctor about prostate cancer, it would be important that he has a discussion and has a good understanding. And I must say, we have quite a lot of literature on this as well that we can send to people. So I'd really encourage people to call us on that 131120 number, or go onto our website, which is cancervic.org.au. So when a man's talking to his doctor about his risk for prostate cancer, he needs to know what prostate cancer's been in his family. Has his brother or father had prostate cancer, or uncle, and what age they were diagnosed. Then also look at his particular risks, and then talk to the doctor about, well, what will it mean if I have positive tests? What will the next steps be? So he's really well informed.
Yeah.
In going through that process.
And that's terrific, and absolutely, well, essential, I'd say. But in terms of, you know, I guess you could sort of say, well, worst case scenario, you know, I don't want to use those words, but if somebody has been diagnosed and positively with prostate cancer, and they go on to treatment, what sort of treatment follows from that diagnosis?
Well, there are different treatments for prostate cancer, and some of those for some men where it's known that the cancer is not aggressive, so it's a slow-growing cancer, the treatment will be called what we call watchful waiting. And by that, it doesn't mean more treatment. It means that the man will have regular blood tests and checkups with the doctor, with the specialist, to determine if that cancer isn't changing. And that will make, you know, at some point they may then have to action some treatment. Or many men can go through and be maintained with watchful waiting, so they don't have any other active treatment apart from testing and communicating with a doctor for quite a long time. For other men, once again, there are different options. Men can have a radical prostatectomy, which is surgical removal of the prostate. Some men now have that done via robotic surgery, or men can have radiotherapy, and there are different forms of radiotherapy as well. So there's a lot of decision making to be made, and so it is important that a man is aware of what his risks are and talks to his GP about prostate cancer.
Yeah, I think that's the best sort of take-home message that you can get out of this, if nothing else, is to get a really good rapport going with your GP, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And also, we would really encourage people to call us, because we can send them information on prevention about all cancers, and plus specific information about we can send them information about particular cancers as well. So we would really encourage people to give us a call.
Yeah, look, I think that's, I mean, I know that the work that the Cancer Council do is absolutely sensational, and I know that you have saved an awful lot of lives. So well done you, Robin.
Thank you.
And your team.
And as I said, that number is 131120.
And we'll make sure that we repeat that again at the end of the show. Robin, we've run completely out of time, I'm afraid. But look,
I've talked too much.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, everything that you've said is completely invaluable. So thank you so much. And thank you for coming on this evening onto Well, Well, Well. It's been a pleasure having a chat with you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Carlos. I really appreciate the time.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
So that was Robin Metcalf from the Cancer Council of Victoria with some very, very interesting and pertinent points about the prostate.
That was very interesting.
It was very interesting.
Positive Women is a support and advocacy organisation working with women living with HIV/AIDS. Positive Women recognise the individual needs of these women and provide them with a safe and comfortable environment that is completely confidential. To find out more information, go to positivewomen.org.au.
Now, that was, Carlos, that was a gorgeous little track. It was a lovely little ditty. And it was by the lovely Natalie Merchant. And it was I'm Not Gonna Beg. I'm not going to beg.
Very nice song.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, Carlos. Hmm. I'm always very conscious that people don't like my music. God knows Jason can't stand it. Now, there's a few little announcement-y, snippety-snip things that we have going on. Events happening around town and such. One is, which is quite exciting, and I'd like to go, Sunday the 15th, which is this Sunday, Williamstown Hospital is holding a community open day. So you get to have a bit of a scene, a bit of a look behind the scenes of a real hospital. If you've never been before to a hospital, behind the scenes, tours and activities galore are the way to go for you this Sunday. Like I say, Sunday the 15th of August, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m, so you've got 4 hours to leg it down to Williamstown, to celebrate the opening of the Wilson Renal Dialysis Unit and to thank the community for their generous support in helping get this off the ground. Heaps of free family fun is on offer, including an all-ages magic show, face painting, behind-the-scenes hospital tours, as well as health checks and information. So it's quite pertinent, given that we've just been talking about prostate cancer. Bring along your family to Williamstown Hospital, Railway Crescent, Williamstown, for a great day out. For more information, you can contact Nikki Cooper on 8345 1185, or I reckon you can probably just lob up there and it will be okay. So there you go. There's a little, if you're thinking of got a bit of a loose end on Sunday the 15th, pop down to your local hospital, see it in a way you've never seen it before.
And the Country Awareness Network is based in Bendigo and provides information on HIV and other sexual transmitted infections for people in rural and regional Victoria. For details, visit their website, can.org.au. That's can.org.au.
Oh, I just hit the microphone.
I heard that.
I like to just jazz things up here every once in a while. And well. Our friends at POWHI Victoria, which stands for People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria, are running a quit smoking course. It's fantastic, and I know that I actually spoke to Vic Perry today, who's actually running the course. He is informed me that they are filling up very, very quickly. So if you want to do it, get in quick. Now, the dates. It's run over 4 weeks, so it's a four-week course. You attend 2 days a week, every Monday and Thursday, starting from this coming Monday the 16th of August. Now, due to demand and for the convenience of people living with HIV/AIDS, they are running it at two times. So it's the same course, but running at two times of the day. So you can pick and choose which one you want to go to. One is between 2 and 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and the other will be from 6 until 8 p.m. And it is, as I say, it is a free course, but only for people living with HIV who wish to quit smoking. Obviously, you have to be a smoker and be wanting to quit, which kind of makes sense. Now, the course covers understanding smoking, planning to quit, health effects, quitting strategies, coping without cigarettes, physically and emotionally, staying stopped in the short term and long term, and enjoying being a non-smoker forever. Now, if you are interested, you can contact 9865 6772. That's 9865 6772, and like I say, it's free. And if you think about how much it's going to save you in packets of cigarettes, then I think it's probably well worth your effort.
And there's a call for participation. Man About Town. It's a short documentary series aimed to break down the stereotypes within the gay community. In Man About Town, you will get to know men with different age groups, cultural backgrounds, HIV status, through candid conversations about their lives, their families, careers, religions, relationships, love, sex, and intimacy. If you would like to be involved or need more information about Man About Town, please email your name and contact details to Steve Lamattina by Sunday the 29th of August on steve.lamattina@gmail.com. That will be steve.lamattina@gmail.com.
I'm so glad you spelt it, because I was going,
I know.
Lamattina.
Lamattina. I don't know if I even pronounced that well, but you know.
Oh, it sounds really good though, Carlos. I have to confess that I do get Carlos to say certain words very often, and that's my favourite. Question. I can never do it justice. The Rural Forum. There's a Rural Forum happening. Registration for attendance and submissions for the Rural GLBTI Health and Wellbeing Forum are now open. The event will be held on September 2 to 4 in the Pines Conference Centre, part of the Latrobe, at Beechworth Complex, and in the lead up to the annual Spring Migration Festival. For more information, including abstract submissions, visit www.takecare.org.au, or you can call CAN Resource Centre, that's CAN, C-A-N, on 5443 8355. So there you go. Shall I share something else?
Sure.
Okay. The Camping Out Symposium is being held at the Melbourne Town Hall this Sunday, which is August the 15th. So now that's at 2 o'clock. So that might be a little bit of a conflict of interest in terms of heading down to the Williamstown event. Maybe you don't actually have time to do both, but you know, we all have to make tough choices and tough decisions in this life. Anyway, the Camping Out Symposium seeks to discover who we were before we marched down the street demanding our rights. Guest panelists include Dr. Graeme Willett, Catherine Barrett, Liz Ross, Gordon Wilson and Philomena Horsley. It's hosted by your very own Joy 94.9. And not by the entire station, by the general manager, Danae Gibson. Attendees can also record their own story in one of the designated history booths. An entry is the bargain price of $10. Now, Carlos, I hate to say it, but I think that's all we've got time for.
Mm.
It's such a shame. But before we go, I am just going to run by once more the two little help points that Robin mentioned earlier. So the regarding cancer, you can go to cutyourcancerrisk.org.au for more information about how you can reduce your chances of getting cancer, or you can phone the Cancer Council helpline on 131120. And we should mention as well, Carlos, that we actually did have a text message from a listener, and the question was, just wondering if anal sex increases the risk of prostate cancer. An exceptionally good question, and as I always say on the show, if I don't know the answer, and in this case I don't, my suspicion is it wouldn't, but I'm not going to, don't quote me on that. I'm going to run away, not now, obviously, but I'm going to find out that answer and bring back the results next week. Does it sound like a plan?
It sounds like a plan.
Fantastic. Coming up next is Theme Party, and that will be followed at 10 p.m. by Hide and Seek with Dean and James. You can tell I actually listen to the show because I know the theme, the theme voice for it. Anyway, we will be back next week. And have you got any hellos, Carlos?
Yeah, to the guys from the Laird, to the guys from Circuit.
Oh, I'll say hello to Bear at the Laird.
Ah.
Woof woof. All right, that's us. Stick around for Theme Party. Good night.
Night night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.